I'm going to go ahead and call us to order because I count four council members, so we have a quorum. I'm going to go with it. We're calling to order our Monday, July 1st, 2024 pre-council, and we've got an open session and then a closed session. So I'm DeCarlin, I'm going to kick it to you, or am I going to kick it full on to our consultants?
Actually, we're going to start with Dave Sorrell.
All right.
Outline of the expansion for the Henderson Branch sewer, and then we'll have our consultants.
You know what's funny? It says that. It says Dave Sorrell. It's Dave. Hi, Dave. I'm sorry I ignored you.
Good evening.
You're right in front of me.
So thank you for letting us come talk to you tonight about the Henderson Branch sewer extension. So what we would like to discuss is the potential for council reconsidering whether or not we actually do a sewer extension project in this watershed. So this has been talked about several times for at least 25 years. I think Steve Hunt, when he got hired, was told that his first assignment would be to build this project, and he's been here 25 years, so it's just never moved forward. If we built it, it would go from the approximately 8,600 linear feet of 15 to 21-inch sewer. It would go up to the interchange with I-70 and Highway 40, the area known as Midway. It's anticipated that it would cost $4.5 to $5 million to build this sewer, and it would allow removal of existing treatment facilities that are discharging approximately 17,500 gallons a day into Henderson Branch and then onto Percy Creek. And construction would also allow for access to public sewer for future development in the area.
Do you want to do the whole presentation and then I ask questions, or can I ask as we go on?
Go ahead.
How do you figure that cost for the sewer? Because it was $4.2 million in 2016. So
what we've done is in 2016 we had an agreement with the sewer district that included an additional 600 or 700 acres, made the watershed a third larger, which made the sewer pipes that much larger. And we had the sewer, if you remember, in some very unsuitable soil conditions. Uh-huh. Well, we've redesigned it back in 2018.
Okay.
And we took that extra 600 acres out and put the size of the sewer for the watershed in, and then we got it up out of the unsuitable soils, which brought the cost down. Well, now we fast forward back to 2024, and we've done these estimates based on some contracts that we have in place for sewer construction. And then I actually provided a set of the plans to a local contractor and said, I'm not going to hold you to a bid on this, but what would you think it would cost? And $4.5 to $5 million should cover the cost of construction, easement acquisition, and final design.
Okay, and then the water that's now being discharged into Flat Branch, which then goes into Perchy Creek, that surface water, that's overflow
discharges from sewer treatment facilities. There's a lagoon at Midway Travel Plaza, and then there's a facility that serves what used to be the Midway Arms, those four or five buildings. And between the two of those, they contribute about 17,500 gallons of treated effluent per day.
Yeah.
Okay, and why did we take out the 600 acres?
It's on the other side of the ridge, and you would have to pump it into this sewer, and it's in a different watershed. It's in Sugar Branch, and eventually at some point in time there would be a sewer built into that watershed that those existing facilities that the sewer district has could discharge into, and building a large sewer here doesn't make that sewer any smaller in the future.
Okay.
So it doesn't really make sense to pump over the ridge, and I mean, this would increase the cost. Instead of 4 to 5, it'd go up to like 8.
Okay. I'm just surprised that was included then originally in 2016.
Yeah, I think that agreement was 2012 or 13.
Whatever.
And that's one that we recently brought to council, and both the sewer district board and the council basically amended the agreement to remove that section because neither one of us could comply with the current terms, and it had bad numbers in it as far as financially.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So I want to go back for just a minute and talk about our service area. So Black & Veatch did a master plan in 1973, and it was updated in 2007. And the light blue big outline is the area that's been studied to be served by the city's sewer treatment plant and collection system. The main objective of that study was to identify an area for watershed protection, and it's based on the concept of planning for and providing regional sewer collection and treatment to reduce discharges into the local water bodies, improving and protecting public health and the environment. Since our plan was completed and then we got the construction bonds to build the plant in the early 1980s, the regional concept of sewer provision has resulted in over 100 smaller sewer treatment facilities to be removed from service, and they no longer discharge to the water bodies, and this would be continuing that concept of regionalization. So the master plan included the Henderson Sewer Extension. And as I said earlier, that would run from the existing Percy Creek Interceptor to a point west and north of the I-70 and US 40 interchange, ending on the property of the Midway Truck Stop and Travel Plaza. And there are two non-city-owned treatment facilities that have MDNR compliance schedules. They need to be upgraded because they don't meet the current water quality standards for discharge into the water bodies. And so if we eliminated those, they would improve the water quality of Henderson Branch and Percy Creek. And then again, it would also allow for some of the homes and businesses that have small on-site systems to connect with the sewer in the future, and it would provide access to public sewer for future development in the watershed. This drawing, all the yellow areas are the properties that we've identified that would be potentially served by this sewer, and the pink outline is the actual watershed boundary. And the sewer is the red line. It's very hard to see this, just south of the interstate and then crosses on the west side of US 40. This project was also included as a proposed bond-funded project in the 2013 sewer bond issue. And we held public hearings between July 2016 through September of 2018, and the project was decided to not move forward.
Is that a revenue bond issue?
At that time.
To educate?
Yes.
You?
Okay. It was a revenue bond issue in 2013. One of the concerns from all the public hearings at the time that we had those was existing ratepayers being very concerned about not having adequate maintenance of the collection system, that we weren't maintaining the system in town. They had sewer backups, sewer overflows, et cetera. So we put together a map, and it's very difficult to see right here. It shows the entire sewer system. But I'd like to point out a few things. Is all the yellow lines.
Could you maybe move that into the light?
You bet.
I'm going to drop it. But.
Well, we're all sitting here watching you do it, though nobody's helping you, so, you know. Okay, thank you.
I can get it put back together. Right there.
Got it?
Got it. If I can get back over here where I can actually point to some things. Somebody's way, no matter where
I
start.
I just want to make sure I can hear you well.
So all the yellow lines
are
lines that are PVC pipe. So they're newer pipe. Yeah. They shouldn't need to be rehabilitated anytime in the near future.
And where?
These, so like these are like all the yellow pipes in like the fifth ward that we can see?
Okay.
Those
gotcha.
Are all new. They PVC. Shouldn't have to be rehabilitated anytime
gotcha.
In the near future.
Yeah, you're right. The light didn't help that whole
One of the things that's important is all the red lines are sewers that we've rehabilitated since 2012.
Nice.
And that actually turns out to be an average of about 1% of the system per year, which is one of the goals of the strategic plan, was to get funding to do approximately 1% per year. We've rehabilitated in total 15% of the entire sewer system. And we have about 13% of the system that's clay that still needs to be rehabilitated.
Mm-hmm.
Between this work,
central.
Some operational changes at the plant, and a lot of private common collector sewer projects that we've completed, we have greatly reduced the number of sewer overflows to the environment and backups in people's houses over the last 12 years.
Okay.
Just thought I'd throw that out because that was a topic last time.
Yep.
Move this out here.
Sorry.
There we go.
But thank you for putting it so we could, somebody
Dave, is that map available on the city website?
No, ma'am, it is not.
Maybe a PDF or something could be sent
to
council.
But I could get a PDF, and we could email it to all of you or put it on the website. It's a very large map, but I can try to get that done. But I think it's important to point out that a lot of the work that we've done in the last 12 years has significantly improved the overflow and backups. So if the council were to say, yes, let's proceed and do this project, do a public improvement process, we've completed a time frame for completion, and that's June of 2028. And that's a long time, but as you can see, there's coordination with MoDOT's Improve I-70 project, coordination with the sewer district, acquisition of easements, the bid call, the whole thing. It's all listed out there. The other challenge is going to be funding. How do we fund it? So it was identified in 2013 for bond funding, and we had some enterprise revenue, and the sewer district had a contribution. The project did not move forward. We proposed using the bond funding for sewer rehab, and that was authorized, and the money was reallocated, and sewer rehabilitation was done. So that money has been spent. We still have approximately $5,771,000 in bonding authority from the 2013 ballot issue because we enterprise revenue funded that portion of the projects because we had money. We didn't need to sell the bonds nor to finance them.
Can you run that by me again? What did you do?
We used enterprise revenue.
Okay.
Reserves from the sewer fund.
Okay.
Instead of selling the second round of bonds.
Okay.
We funded the projects with cash.
Okay.
So we still could, we could still sell $5.7 million worth of bonds.
Did we sell some bonds for the 2018 project? Did we sell any bonds for the 2018 project for the Henderson Branch sewer line?
Did we actually sell bonds for Henderson? That was from the first round.
Yeah, there were going to be bonds.
Yes, there was some bond funds that were in it, and those were
transferred.
Allocated for rehab.
Okay, so then that was used for rehab, and then the rest of the rehab that you pointed out was done with enterprise funds.
And bond funds.
And bond.
A large portion of the 2013 ballot initiative was for rehabilitation.
Okay.
So that's one avenue would be to sell bonds. Second avenue would be to use enterprise revenue. And I'll show you where our cash reserves are on the next slide. One of the options would be for landowner contributions. So those people who have the facilities that need to be removed, we could approach them and ask, would you be willing to participate in the project? Another option would be to recover the cost by imposing an additional connection fee, which would be very similar to what we've done on the Route Z sewer project, where we are collecting an additional connection fee that's proportional to the acreage of the property. They pay that percentage of the project cost at the time they connect to the sewer.
And on that one, they pay to it, and then once everybody's kind of full capacity, it's done, they're done paying that additional connection fee?
Yes.
It's only at the time of connection
yes.
that they pay towards that.
Yes, and then that would allow for recovery of the cost by the end user, not by all the other ratepayers, but it would happen over time. So we would finance it up front, and then we could recover it over time.
Unlike the Route Z, which is not being financed by us.
Yeah, it's being financed by us. We're collecting the fee
and then
providing it back to the developer.
But this one would be financed by us, but then we'd be reimbursed as the connection fees happen. Okay.
Yep. I recommend that we do the funding with the enterprise revenue and impose an additional connection fee, and that maybe we also talk to the owners of the treatment systems out there to see if they would be willing to contribute to a portion of the project. And I wanted to show you our cash reserve projections that we showed at a work session earlier this year. At the end of 2024, this fiscal year, we're projected to have cash for $14.7 million above the target. And going out to 2030, which is a long way to project, it still shows us having $7 million above the target. So funding a $4.5 or $5 million project would not put us in a bad financial position. especially if we did the additional connection fee and recovered some of that cost in the future.
Dave, I don't remember at that work session, why are we at sort of higher percentage of the debt service? You know, why are we so much higher in our reserves and for? Is it because of these projects that we just didn't do? Because it seems to me rehabilitation costs just as much as a new project.
It does cost a lot. And I mean, his sewer fund's just pretty healthy really right now.
Okay.
And
so it's not because of projects we haven't done?
No. No, we've completed every project on that 2013 sewer bond initiative.
Except for this one.
And the Route Z sewer.
Okay.
Which was also on there, but we didn't do it because Outdoor Brands built an on-site system.
Okay.
And these next four slides are a more detailed view of the properties that would be served, and you can't really read it on the screen very well, but each parcel is identified with some letters or numbers. And then on the next sheet, it shows the percent of the land area that they would be paying a connection fee for, you know, based on project cost. And it turns out that if it costs $5 million, it would be about $3,571 an acre in additional connection fees to recover the cost. So if you had a house on 1 acre and you were going to connect it to the sewer, you would pay the normal sewer fee of $2,400 plus $3,571. That's how that would work. And I mean, this is on the south side of the interstate, same thing. It shows the properties that would be served, and then that shows the percentage that they would pay.
Question on that, David, the cost. On R1 zoning standard size lot,
mm-hmm.
How many of those lots in an acre?
3 or 4.
What's the average size lot, Tim?
It's going to be about 6 at most, but frankly, most subdivisions, if you take the gross acre, it's 2, 2.5. Lots per acre, because you got streets in there, you got common areas.
Okay, so that would essentially divide that 3,500 by 2 or 3.
2 or 3 lots, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
And then a couple other things I wanted to point out that if we did move forward with this would be a couple of big challenges. One is coordinating with MoDOT's Interstate 70 improvement project, because it's very preliminary at this time. But what they're showing on that and what our sewer alignment is, if we built it today without coordinating, we'd have to rebuild it when they did that project. Mm-hmm. And their timeline is actually that we would be constructing these at the same time. So we should be able to coordinate, but it's probably going, that's why we put like a year in there for that, because we don't want to get in front of them and have to do it twice.
Yeah, isn't that schedule for that part the end of their whole I-70 project?
No, it's changed.
Oh, of course.
It's second to last.
I got it with
it is.
So in 5 years rather than 7? Okay.
Their schedule, if I remember right, the last one I saw, would coordinate construction timeline with our schedule.
Okay.
So it'd be 28.
Okay.
And then the other thing I wanted to point out that's going to be a challenge is that we would have to coordinate this with the Boone County Regional Sewer District as it relates to providing sewer service outside the corporate limits of the city. So because we build a sewer outside the corporate limits doesn't mean that somebody can connect to it and be our customer. Because mm-hmm. the state statute says that if you're in the service area of another provider, you can only do it with their permission.
Mm-hmm.
So they would either have to waive the service to us, or we would have to enter into some sort of an agreement where they may have a financial participation in the project, and they would have customers connected to our system, something, and that's liable to slow this project down as well if we decide to move forward.
Similarly to what we just amended, like an agreement like what we just did with the Boone County Sewer District that you just mentioned?
That was just eliminating the old agreement.
Okay.
But yes, it would be similar to other agreements that we've done with them.
Have we started a conversation with them?
They are aware that this was going to be presented to you tonight. So
okay.
I said that we may need to start that conversation.
Okay. Betsy has a question.
And with that, I think I'm going to let Stacy talk about potential economic development benefits of this project.
Before we move on, Betsy had a quick question.
Can I just ask, at one point in time, if we built a sewer line, the landowners that connected to it were required to annex into the city?
Yes.
So what is that statement?
Okay.
How does that relate to, are we annexing everything out to Midway then?
Let's go back out here.
Is that different than?
And so let's say that some of the properties right just south of the interstate that Mr. Potterfield's company owned, they're contiguous. They could annex. But then if the properties in between there all the way over are not contiguous and can't annex, we also have the requirement of annexation agreement. But that doesn't mean that they can connect to the sewer just because they have an annexation agreement without the sewer district approval. Once you annex, the sewer district doesn't have any say in the matter. If that makes any sense.
Not much, no.
So
if you're not contiguous and you cannot physically annex.
Right, but we're still going to build a sewer.
Then yes, but then the sewer district has to be involved in the conversation.
So we do an annexation agreement that says that once they are contiguous, they would annex into the city. And so you have the agreement that says that right now they are pending annexation once they can fully touch our city. And so as all the properties in between that annex in, then they would annex in.
And those properties between the two, what are they using for sewer?
Right now, I think a lot of it's blank.
They're either undeveloped or on-site systems.
On-site.
Septic systems.
So those are not land that we would say need to annex simply because we're putting a sewer line past them.
If they wanted,
they're not going to use.
If they wanted to connect to the sewer, if their system starts failing, then they would need to annex in order to connect to the sewer.
And if they start building out subdivisions or doing any type of commercial development, they will want sewer as opposed to trying to do an off-site system.
Okay, so then some of it had to do with fees, right? That the Boone County Sewer District collects a certain amount of money, of which it gives us some of it to use
the sewer line,
they keep some of it. Because they're paying off bonds or something?
Most of the agreements that we have with the sewer district, they charge their rates, which are over twice what our rate is.
Okay.
And then they give us the equivalent of 80% or 85?
I thought it was 85.
80 or 85% of what we would charge if the property were in the city limits. Because if you're outside the city limits connected to our sewer, we charge 150%. And our last
cost is 150%, and we get 85% of that?
We get 85% of the 100%. We are not doing very good with what we're charging with the sewer district.
There's a lot of numbers that I aren't making any sense to me at the moment.
Now, our most recent cost of service study that we had done with the sewer system showed that that number should be closer to like 91 or 92%.
Would that be the sort of thing that would be negotiated in the agreement?
Yes, that's the kind of thing that would need to be negotiated in the agreement.
Okay. Yeah, because I think at one point we had asked about renegotiating that, and I don't think anyone ever came back with a report.
They were not interested in even having the discussion.
The Boone County Sewer District. What makes you think they want to have a conversation now?
Well, this wouldn't pertain to all the current agreements. This would be a new agreement moving forward. They're not wanting to renegotiate existing agreements, although they do have one they want to renegotiate that they made us aware of last week.
Okay.
I just completely missed that, and I'm real comfortable with saying what I don't understand. So, can you just review those numbers with me? I was trying to follow it, and then I'm confused.
What the sewer district pays us for our connection agreement charges?
Please.
It's typically It's typically 85%.
Right.
Of what we would charge the customer if they were located inside the city limits.
Okay, 85% plus minus, okay, what we would charge.
If the property were inside the city limits.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
That's what they pay us. So We have a base charge and a volume charge, and I think our average bill right now is around $25 a month. They would give us 85% of that.
So they do the collection if it's out in the county, and then they...
Yes.
And they give us some of the money.
And then we bill them,
right?
And then they pay us.
You said earlier it's like twice what we do. So, for example,
$50.
Our fee would be $25. They're actually charging $50. But they're paying us 85% of the 25.
Correct.
Okay.
And they're doing that because they had to take a loan out.
They have a lot of money that they borrowed to do upgrades to have facilities be compliant with regulations.
And that's like the two that you said would come offline that are out there near Midway somewhere?
One of them the sewer district owns, and one of them is owned privately.
Okay, so we would be taking those two off.
Mm-hmm.
But but that's what the sewer district is using. That's what they're using their money for, is to repay loans and
yes.
keep their equipment up until they connect to the regional sewer, which we control.
Yes. And that's what they've done with many of their facilities. They've taken them out of service and hooked to our system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, over time, I think the city and the sewer district's done a very good job of improving water quality by reducing discharges.
Yeah. Do we have any idea when the sewer district would be able to retire some of their old debt? I mean, that their reason for what they charge is because they have all this debt.
I thought
they were supposed to be getting...
Off the top of my head, I do not.
I'm sure you don't know off the top of your head. I just sort of wondered.
I mean, I imagine their schedules are similar to ours, where they're 25, 30 year payoffs.
Okay.
But they still have the ability to bond some more projects. Not much, but they still do have some bonding authority.
I have a lot more questions, as that part kind of comes up with the negotiation with them to see. But part of this is you have a next step is to talk about, like, what would the impacts be in this area moving along? Is that where we have economic development here?
Yes, I was going to let Stacy.
I've got Alan Spell and Luke Dieterle.
I do have one
Dave,
last
while,
quick.
While they're exchanging, Dave.
More for just history and for my edification. What was the reason or reasons, primary reasons, that it was defeated in 18? Not defeated, but not approved.
So it was, in part, what Dave, a lot of the comment was about some of the existing infrastructure, especially central city infrastructure, that residents felt had not been taken care of.
Okay.
Right. And so I think that's, I think an interesting statistic that might be good to pull out is if you have, you mentioned your percentage, like the rate of ones you've done since 2013. It'd be interesting if you can go back and calculate what was that rate before that to show that why people were probably like, there was nothing happening, and then all of a sudden we did a lot. So that might be good to show, like, how we listened and we
fixed it.
That
actually shows the percentage that was done prior to 12 is on there as well, and it's only like 3.5%.
Right, so 3.5 before and then 15.
12 and a half.
Yeah.
Or 11 and a half now.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing was the large cost increase was a big reason.
From the revenue.
Yeah, I mean,
revenue side.
And that was there again due to a big portion of that was due to that extra 600 acres being added to it, which caused the size of the pipes to need to be increased, and then getting into the very, very poor soils.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a better system, and making sure that we took care of what we had first before you do it.
Yeah, because that was a huge issue. Just 2.4 million to 4.2 million didn't have the bonding capacity. Didn't know what we were doing apparently.
Okay.
Had too much, it sounds like, collection.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hello, my name is Alan Spell. I'm an assistant extension professor at the University of Missouri. Work with MU Extension, and this is my colleague, Luke Dieterle.
Yeah, I work with, he pretty much captured it all.
So at our unit, we do economic and industry studies. We do that for grants or contracts. And so we were approached to try to understand what the potential different development scenarios would be for midway, assuming that the sewer came in and what those impacts would be. So I know it's a lot of numbers that we're going to cover here. There's a handout that you have. Mm-hmm. This PowerPoint has some numbers, but hopefully I can explain it all and it'll make sense. And obviously, welcome any questions as we go through this.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen so much text on a slide before until I got your presentation.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
Impressive.
The first thing we wanted to do is try to understand what the development situation is out there in Midway, what the interest is. So we conducted interviews with city officials and then with businesses in the area, and to understand kind of what the interest has been in development out there and what has been limiting it. And the lack of sewer infrastructure came up again and again as a potential limiter of development out there. So we got information from the city on what the cost would be and the timing of that. Then we also got information from existing businesses in the area about what they're paying right now in sales taxes and what their sales are and other taxes, so that we could calculate what the difference would be if they moved into the actual city of Columbia through annexation. And then we also looked at the 2016 fiscal analysis that was done to look at those numbers. Now it's, of course, 2024, so it's a lot different. Businesses have changed, and so has costs and so forth. But we wanted to look at that. And then finally, we used other sources of information. So Department of Revenue has taxable sales information. We have numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics on average size of businesses and so forth. And so we used data like that to help inform our decisions about the assumptions. So what we came to was, one, the understanding that we definitely heard that the fact of existing business expansion and new development out there is limited by the sewer infrastructure there. And secondly, the development of I-70s and the improvements on the frontage road are going to also be pressures to develop out in that direction. The sewer line and development timing, though, require us to look at analysis over a long period of time. So this isn't a one-year thing. It takes a couple of years to build a sewer line. It takes years to build stores, and it takes time for stores to scale up and so forth. So we're looking at a 10-year analysis. So we're looking over a 10-year window of time. In the next slide, I'll show you what those periods are. But then really important is we don't have a crystal ball. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen out there, but we can develop what we call low growth and higher growth scenarios. And so low growth being really a minimum type of expected growth out there, and then a higher growth looking at some potential development out there and then proposing a higher growth development scenario. Now, I've been doing impact studies for over 20 years. I'm a big believer in doing things that are reasonable and that seem to be within reason. There's other potential upside developments that we've heard about, but this was more of what we saw as very reasonable expectations in the time frame. So for timing-wise, up at the top we have basically the timing for the cost of sewer installation, which is the direct fiscal cost in 2027 and 2028. So as David showed earlier, it's 2024 now, but by the time you coordinate and get all that stuff done, you're actually not turning dirt until 2027. When we're doing impacts, that's what counts. It's like that actual business activity. So there's a sewer installation that begins in 2027 and ends in 2028. And then you have the additional sewer maintenance after that's built. Meanwhile, and you have that cost of $4.5 to $5 million that was mentioned. We have maintenance costs that the utility department provided. And then we have the assumption that in 2029, those businesses that access the sewer are at that time annexed. And so annexation by 2029, in other words. And so before they're able to tap into the line. And then what that does is assume that they're going to now pay those taxes to the city of Columbia, and then we assume 2% annual sales growth, which is basically inflation adjusting. It's a modest increase in that. Now, if we just took the existing businesses and said they're annexed in 2029 and looked until 2036, which is pretty far out there, but over that time period, we estimate $2.9 million in direct revenue that would come if nothing else happened. That was just the utility connection fees, the sales tax, the excise tax, all the other taxes that are collected there.
And actually, briefly, Alan, I want to mention, we didn't take into account the additional fee that was previously mentioned by David. I believe it was the 350.
Connection fee?
Yeah.
Extra connection
fee. So just a note that, our estimates are, I guess, even a little bit slightly more reasonable or conservative, given that we have to include that.
Yeah. And so that's giving you your basic, nothing else happens, but we're annexing these properties. For a low growth scenario, we assumed a limited service restaurant opens up in that area. So that's a Taco Bell or a Burger King or something like that. And they of course need to construct that building. We know the sewer line's coming in, so developers are going to know that there's access in 2029, so they build in 2028. And then you have a limited service operations starting in 2029. So that's our minimum scenario. The high growth scenario adds a shopping center to that scenario. So that's a shopping center that's going to have a mid-sized grocery store as an anchor, so not a ultra big Hy-Vee, but more of a mid-sized grocery store. And then it's going to have a clothing store, accounting office, general merchandise, another restaurant. So basically five other businesses, and one of those being a anchor mid-sized grocery store. So that's our scenario, and that gets staggered starting in construction in 2028, completed in 2029, and then operations starting two businesses in 29 and two in 30. So this is just typical how we time things out when we're doing analysis. Nothing generally happens in 1 year. It seems to happen over many years, and so we like to time things out. But the window is basically a 10-year window when you look at that. Now, the terminology I wanted to kind of tell you, well, why are we doing the impact model? What does the impact model do? Well, you've got the direct limited, the limited service restaurant going in, and that's a direct, 20 jobs, let's say. But in-plan will look at the supply chains of a typical limited service restaurant and estimate the supply chain impact. So it's a bigger number than 20. Also, you're going to get what's called induced effects, which is basically you've created 20 jobs at that restaurant. Maybe you created another 5 jobs in supply chain, transportation, wholesale, whatever that is that supplies that fast food place. Those workers have additional money, and so they're going to spend it on food, clothing, and stuff like that, so consumer-facing businesses in the area. So that's typically how we break out impacts, by direct, indirect, and induced, and there's a lot of text that basically says that. But then at the end, our model, it's a county-level model, but it will basically estimate fiscal benefits over that time period as well. So when you look at all these tables, and I know there's a whole lot of them, but basically you have four figures going across. You have average annual jobs, and so over that 10 years, that's the average annual full-time and part-time jobs that are estimated to be there. So jobs aren't cumulative. They kind of go and they come and go. So construction jobs peak when you're building stuff and those jobs go away. But then when operations start and business starts, those jobs start and then stay, obviously, in the area. We have labor income, which includes wage, benefits, and owner pay. GDP, which is gross domestic product, but is also equivalent to total sales minus inputs, and then gross output, which is total sales. So that's kind of how those numbers are created. Those dollar figures are all cumulative over 10 years and in 2004 dollars, and so they're aggregated over that 10-year period. So when you see a table, you're going to see it put out in that way. So any questions so far? All right. Well, this is the last slide, so not a lot more numbers, but in the low growth scenario, we're again expanding the sewer line, so there's construction activity with that. There's annexation, which means those businesses that are in that area are going to pay city taxes, utility connection fees, and so forth. And then there's the low or the limited service restaurant. So with that, you see an average annual jobs over that 10 years of 28, almost 29 jobs, labor income of 8.3 million. 14 million more in GDP and 32 million more in sales, and a city-county fiscal benefit of 4 million is estimated. If we move to the high growth scenario, we're looking at adding a shopping center, basically. So that's the difference in those five stores. Then we're going to 170 jobs over that time period, 60 million in labor income, 92 million in GDP, and almost 200 million in sales. So the bottom line is that it definitely seems to be interest in the Midway area, and that sewer is the limiting, you know, one of the major limiting factors in that. City population is growing. You got I-70 developing in better frontage roads there, so it seems very reasonable that development would happen there. There's residential development already going on out there. So these scenarios serve as guidance, basically, to a range of what are probably pretty reasonable estimates for the impact over there by 2036. So the report has a lot more detail, a lot more tables broken out. So we break out the construction phase, the operations phase, and there's benefits to the rest of Missouri. So building stuff in Boone County also benefits the rest of Missouri. We've got those numbers in the back, but you care about Boone County. I think right here, just right in this local area. So we didn't show those in the main analysis. Questions?
Questions for Alan or Luke? Yeah, Don.
Yes.
These show the projections high and low. What is it today? Do you have that? Just out of curiosity, do you have that today? I mean, what is the benefit?
This
to the county?
To the county and to Columbia today.
No, this is development.
That's
this is if they're annexed. This is one assuming annexation to assuming business development.
Right
now. Now these are in 2004 or $24.
Okay.
So we do back out inflation or anticipated inflation.
All right. Thanks.
Well, because I think they're not here now.
Right.
So.
Right. They're not here.
Well, but I mean, there are current.
You're extra when we talk about induced, like around, because they're in our area.
Yeah. There is Midway.
Yeah, I mean, there's currently some businesses out there.
Right, and that one, if current businesses, you know, are annexed in 2029, by 2036, nothing else happens, but they just continue operating. They grow 2%, which is, again, very reasonable. Then we're talking 2.9 at a minimum million that we assume. That's probably a little bit on the low end. There's probably some businesses in there that we didn't get the connection fee on and stuff. Mm-hmm. But really, the big driver is sales tax. Your hotel, your excise, all those other taxes. So,
okay.
Yes?
So, to do a quick recap, we have the cash on hand if we wanted to go that route to do this. And it would cost how much again?
$4.5 to $5 million.
Okay, $4.5 to $5 million for long term, lowest scenario, $4 million benefit on.
I was going to say, if we did the additional connection fee, we would recoup the cost of construct the sewer.
Yeah. And that,
but then we're looking at then $4 million for, you know, long term. I mean, that's like that.
Yeah. You continue
this is like
to
really,
get money.
This
in
makes
the years
great
past
sense.
This, right?
This seems to me to make really great sense to, I mean, economic sense to do it.
Part of the benefit to doing that, and I'm not sure what the rate would be with the connection fee, with the additional one per acre. I think part of the benefit is if you're talking about right now using the funds that have been collected by current ratepayers for what they're putting into, the reason why I assume why we did on the Route Z and why you're proposing on this one the potential additional connection fee is to help offset the part that local ratepayers have already paid into the system, that $14 million that we have in excess above our reserves, is to help make that more comfortable for those who have already been paying into that for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of just for the rate. And I'm assuming you guys would figure out what is a fair connection fee to both recoup the cost, but also, to your point, it is helping us with economic development.
Well, the fee would strictly be an area proportionate of
so
that total cost
that you receive.
Of the total cost of the project,
right.
That additional fee.
Right.
So if it's a $300,000 project or a $1 million project, what would be the difference in the connection fee?
It's the percentage of the property versus the total property served.
But not the project.
And then it's
cost of the project.
Project cost divided by that, and that's the cost per acre. So it's a $5 million project, and it's 1,415 acres, and it's $3,700 per acre. If it turned out to be a $4 million project, you'd divide that by 1,415, and it'd be a lower cost per acre.
That's over and above the 2,400.
That's above the normal connection fee, yes.
Of 2,400.
It's $2,400 for a single family home.
And the assumption is that any of these fees, though, might change depending on how the conversation happens with Boone County Sewer District, I'm assuming?
Mm-hmm. Or property owners that, if they wanted to be
annex.
Participant.
Right. Yeah, that seemed like a really steep excess fee to me.
Me too.
I mean, just hearing about it tonight, you know. I do appreciate you sending the slides out earlier today.
Okay. Yeah.
It was nice to look at them, even though I'm like, what are we talking about here? It was helpful.
Just quick question. You mentioned that Boone County Sewer District's fees are double ours.
More than double.
Right. So that 24, the connection fee plus the connection fee to pay for this, would they still be, I feel like I should just ask Joe. You know what I mean? Like, how does that, with their current, you know, like, obviously ours would be a better system because it's the regional sewer district. But you know what I mean? I guess it'd be good to know that sort of input is like how much are they currently paying and what would be that increase of to connect with us? I don't know if you have numbers on your hand, property owner.
We have our own lagoon, so I'm not currently paying.
Yeah.
The sewer district. The difference, I guess, is that they're limited. And so they have very limited supply. And as a matter of fact, when we went through all this the first time, it wasn't available. They only could take care of what they were taking care of. Now they've since expanded, and so that is an option. But for example, if I was to hook up there, it would be limited to what I currently do. So
you couldn't expand.
When Bucky's comes and wants to put, you know that's not doable. We couldn't expand the you know, that's sort of depending on the type of businesses in a mall like that. Yeah, so we would be limited to what we currently do for the city. I think, you know, going into this would
make more sense.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm hearing, I don't know, Don or Roy, questions you have, but I think that's probably a question that it sounds like a lot of council members would like to know is of the existing, you know, those who are maybe potentially coming onto this, like, is that a make or break on that connection fee? But it's something we have to consider. It's something we have to think about, too, as far as the who's already paid for that money that is going into this and then what the benefit is long term.
I think the economic benefit is pretty clear in a good way, in a positive way. I mean, we.
So what people are saying, I don't remember this from 2016. That people that, like my home was built in 57. I certainly did not pay to connect to the Columbia sewer. You know, I do pay a monthly, you know, exorbitant sewer fee, but other than that,
yeah.
I didn't pay, you know, I didn't pay a connection fee or pay to have it put in. So was the conversation...
It was rates.
Were the complaints that people had already paid to connect to the sewer and they shouldn't have to be part of expanding the sewer system?
I wasn't on council at that time.
I can't remember that.
Sitting in the audience. I mean, I think a big part of it was more of that. I mean, and Aaron, you probably know more. Like, I feel like more of it that people were, they were experiencing failures in especially central city system, and they wanted that to get fixed before we expanded.
Okay.
They wanted the money they were paying on their monthly utility fee to be used towards maintenance and improvement of the existing system before we expanded for new customers.
And we needed to do that anyway because we were in trouble with our overflows.
Yes.
Manhole
and that
raw sewage overflows.
We've completely changed that whole picture with what we have done in the last 12 years.
Okay. That makes more sense. Sorry, I was like, what?
So it's kind of like yes and. Like, yes, but, we can fix these things and.
But the idea of having the additional connection fee, I mean, yeah, the ratepayers, their current ratepayers would fund it, but that money would be recouped, and we could still continue with our rehabilitation projects and maintain the existing system instead of subsidizing a sewer extension to serve new customers.
Okay.
I think in part of the discussion would be important to note too is that as we've done these other agreements, like you mentioned somebody who's outside the city limit who's coming on 150, which I think we just had that conversation about the mobile park home off of New Haven. As they're having that conversation, what are we doing there, right? Like, what is the conversation? What is the fee that we have? How many have we done of these lately? Because some of them are for just one customer, and some are for potential development like this that has this potential economic development growth, right? Like, some it's like an actual subdivision's coming in, so we know. Yeah. Thoughts?
So for the sewer that we're, the one that we talked about the last council meeting.
Route Z?
Route Z. We're also charging an extra connection fee for that. Is that the same rate?
It's calculated the same way.
Same calculation.
It's proportional cost to your size of your property, proportional to the total property, and then based on actual final project cost.
Yeah.
Do we need to keep having our extension guy stand up here, or are we?
Oh, yeah. Back. You guys can sit down if you want. Now we're talking about. Any questions for Alan or Luke?
I appreciate the presentation. It makes sense to me.
All right, great. Well, great. We're still here in the Columbia area, so if you have questions.
Yeah.
That's your contact information.
Okay.
And otherwise, we will let you have it.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate it. So, should we maybe some of the questions that council members might have? Like, some of them are like both seeing like that percentage of what it would be, the rate to being with it. Also, what properties might of current, you know, might be interested, and knowing that sort of feedback might be good to hear.
Okay.
Obviously, they'll bring back some sort of project to us. But the question is, do we want them to bring back the project? And I'm feeling like, yes, bring it back for the conversation to continue, but you kind of have some questions to answer first.
I kind of don't have a good feel for what it is we're asking them to do. So you know what I mean?
Dave Sorrell, what direction do you need from City Council?
Well, basically what I was hoping to get from Council is to either proceed with beginning the public improvement project process for this project or not begin it. And if you'd like us to begin that, then we would go ahead and get an IP interested parties meeting scheduled and have communications with property owners in the area and to see what the interest is, and then come back with a public hearing.
And is there an opportunity that the feedback from that would change potentially the connection fee cost, or are you coming to us with a different calculation for how it's calculated?
It very well could.
Okay. That would make me feel more.
And then, you know, we can talk to some property owners out there too as part of that whole deal to see if there's anybody that's willing to participate. And that might change that whole connection fee proposal as well.
Well, and starting the conversation with the Boone County Sewer District.
Yes.
I think that's like kind of before.
We mentioned that to them last week. Okay. So they know that this meeting was happening and that we may be reaching out to them.
So the question is to give them notice to proceed with the public process.
See, and I would speak against that at the moment, because what we're going to hear is, oh, there's a $3,500 connection fee over the $2,400. How dare the city plan to do that? And what you're saying is you want input to decide if we need to do that. And that's what I see as one of the problems. I'm not opposed to going forward with this, but I think we need to firm up what we're telling the public before we go out. Because I think it's not really clear to me what we would be connecting and how much money it would take and what we're asking people to do. And I think it's going to get really muddy really fast, and you're going to have a lot of really inaccurate information, which will make a lot more headlines than the truth. I mean, just, you know, I think maybe you need to talk to the property folks and see what they think, and talk to the sewer district. I'm just feeling like we need more information so that it's a little clearer what we're taking out to the public versus.
But you also don't want to have the project decided before you start your interested parties meeting, because then you get told that you're going out there with your project or you decided before the feedback.
Well, that's true.
So we could do a couple of things. We could start doing some of our due diligence ahead of doing the interested parties part. so we can start meeting with some of the potential property owners who may want to connect and kind of get an assessment from them, what their thoughts are. Is this connection fee too much? And so then we can kind of navigate that. And we can also start having conversations with the sewer district on what their potential thoughts would be toward us moving this this project forward. And so we can have that ahead of moving forward with the interested parties. I think Dave had it scheduled for...
Can you bring up your slide that had the schedule?
May I ask a clarifying question? Did David say that he would like us to approve moving forward with the public hearing process?
So the
public, is that what I just want to
the public process.
Basically, did the council have interest in pursuing this project by starting the public improvement process?
The public improvement process. Thank you. I'm glad you get that.
Yeah, because when we did it back in 2016-18.
Okay.
It was decided not to go forward. There's been renewed interest by some property owners out there who have asked what's the potential.
Okay.
And so we said, well, we should ask council.
Okay. Yeah.
See, and to me this looks, so this just looks like it's really rushed. You're going to do interested parties meetings in the next month and a half, and then you're going to do the public hearing starting in September. And I think that's where we're going to get into trouble.
Well, the public hearing's in November.
Oh, November? I thought it was 9/11/24.
So September is when you'll start advertising for it.
You advertise for it, and
oh,
then
I see.
It's 2 months later.
Okay.
And I'm assuming that
okay.
you can also keep your comments open longer, as far as that goes, to get some of that feedback. And then I think it would be important for us to then hear the feedback on what changed from this meeting to that one based on the feedback that you heard, or if nothing changed because it was supported by those potential property owners. Because that's where you might see, like, this is better than the lagoon in my backyard.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would motion to move with the...
Well, we don't make motions in work sessions, but basically they get the consensus to start this process.
So to call a vote or just wave or
no.
just say go
no,
for
it's
it?
No, just to
just get the consensus
feel good
of us.
About it.
Yeah. It makes
right.
total sense.
You've
yeah.
got my good feels.
Yeah.
I'm for it.
Yeah. I think to Carlin's point about kind of addressing some of these, obviously I'm going to want to hear from the Boone County Sewer District your conversations with that, because that will majorly affect the cost of that fee and pains going on.
Yeah, so we can just move everything a month. So instead of starting in July, we start in August for the actual interested parties process.
Because right now you're going to talk to them.
So the month before is when we'll start doing our conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone good on the conversation starting? Maria? Okay.
Can you do that and still keep your public hearing at the same time, then?
Everything will shift.
Yeah.
Everything will shift.
Yeah. And it still is good with the MoDOT timing around, roughly? Okay.
Yeah, MoDOT's Columbia to Roachport, they're showing in here to issue an RFP in May of 25. And... project completion in October 29, so it would line right up with our project.
And I will say, I'm assuming if you can get these conversations with the sewer district and with property owners before that month, it doesn't have to delay it.
Right.
I mean, I think we're fine with it, just as long as the due diligence is done, to have that sort of feedback is appreciated. Yeah.
I've already got a meeting scheduled with the sewer district, so I want to give a conversation, so.
Add 90 minutes to the conversation. Okay.
You do.
Do you need anything else from us?
How do you want the feedback back to you?
I want you to just use it.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And then when we have our public hearing, it's be like, we heard you at this meeting. These are the conversations we had. Here's the negotiations we made with this. You know what I mean? This is the feedback we heard. Or they come to the council meeting and say, we didn't like this from the get-go, and we make the decision at that time. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? All right, appreciate it.
Not on this topic.
Not on this topic. Okay. We're going to now move on to our closed session. So I move that the City Council of the City of Columbia, Missouri, to immediately go into a closed meeting here in Conference Room 1A, 1B of City Hall to discuss Legal actions, causes of action or litigation involving a public governmental body and confidential or privileged communications between a public governmental body or its representatives and its attorneys pursuant to section 610.0211 of the revised statutes of Missouri. Second, the leasing, purchase, or sale of real estate by a public governmental body where public knowledge of the transaction might adversely affect the legal consideration, therefore, pursuant to section 610.0212 of the revised statutes of Missouri. And three, preparation, including any discussions or work product on behalf of a public governmental body or its representatives for negotiations with employee groups pursuant to section 610.0219 of the revised statutes of Missouri. Can I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Don. All right. Don, yes. Ms. Peters?
Yes.
Ms. Buffalo, yes. Ms. Meyer?
Yes.
And Mr. Lovelady?
Yes.
All right.